The poet then writes and presents a trilogy. And at the end of the trilogy of tragic plays, there will then be a burlesque play, a satyr play as it's called, which will be a sort of comedic inversion of what's been going on during the day. So you have to imagine yourself in the Athenian audience arriving at the theatre close to sunrise and sitting for the entire day through three tragedies, all linked to each other thematically. And then at the end of the day, getting your rest and relaxation by watching some buffoons racing around the stage, turning the earlier plays on their heads. And then the next day, you return for the same thing again with the works of a second playwright, and so on the third day. And finally, at the end of it, the judges decide who it was who wins the prize for the best plays. So the very context of this as a festival context, as an agonistic performance, a competitive performance, is unlike the way we approach theatre in the modern world. Why, though, Dionysus? Why is he important? Well, Dithyram begins, of course, with hymns and poems that are sung in honour of Dionysus. But there's something else as well. I don't think it's a coincidence that this god is closely tied to tragedy and to drama in general. Dionysus, for the Greeks, is the god who both binds together and releases. Now, people are often familiar with the idea that Dionysus represents drinking, that Dionysus has given the Greeks the grape, and that Dionysus is often shown as a drinker reclining happily, getting himself as drunk as a lord. And he can have the same effect on the Greeks as well. But so many aspects of Greek culture have two sides, and the idea of this release, of letting go of your social taboos, is matched by the notion that it is Dionysus who also binds society together. It is Dionysus who creates the taboos by which civilized life is organized. And the theatre is an important part of this, because the theatre is not primarily designed as entertainment at all. The theatre for the Greeks, and particularly tragedy for the Athenians, is a space, a place where people can think about those aspects of humanity, of being human, that actually threaten the well-being of society. It is a place for transgression, where every antisocial impulse and passion, the desire to kill your father, the desire to marry your mother, the desire to leave the streets swimming in blood, to murder people, where these desires can, in a sense, be acted out, can be released in a very controlled setting, precisely so that they can then be washed out of the system. The clearest evocation, I think, that we have of the power of Dionysus comes in Euripides' play, The Bacchae, one of his late plays. And here we have a very powerful contradiction. Dionysus appears as an Easterner, as an outsider. He is seen in some ways to be soft and effeminate. And yet, at the most frightening moments of the play, he is also seen to be the god whose power is absolutely irresistible. When Agawe walks in at the end of the play, holding the head of her son in her hand, she has got that head in her hand because she has physically ripped him limb from limb and done so while the god is in her, while she is under his control. So he is both something foreign, something alien, potentially something soft, something drunken, something buffoonish in some respects. And yet, at the same time, he is also something which is threatening, something which must be controlled and must be honoured. You must recognise the power of Dionysus, otherwise it's threatened, you'll end up like Pentheus and be literally torn limb from limb. It's because of this transgressive nature, as it's sometimes called, this transgressive nature of Greek theatre, that the Greeks are able to put on such extraordinary plays. Their plays deal with every vile aspect of human nature: incest, matricide, murder, parricide, and so forth. And the whole idea in enacting these on the stage is that they be purged. This is not an idea that 20th century scholars have come up with on their own. Aristotle understood it fairly clearly, and in fact we still use the term that he gave to it, catharsis.